Thank you very much. Thank you. Hey, Wisconsin.
Republican vice presidential nominee Paul Ryan giving a shout out to the Wisconsin delegation before he addressed the Republican National Convention last night. How did he do? We will ask our guest and we'll ask you too this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, August 30th. Ryan laid out the GOP vision for the economy and Medicare and criticized what he deemed President Obama's failed policies.
We will not duck the tough issues. We will lead. We will not spend the next 4 years blaming others. We will take responsibility. We will not try to replace our founding principles. We will reapply our founding principles. The work ahead will be hard. These times demand the best of all of us. All of us, but we can do this.
We will welcome your questions and your views about the issues in Ryan's speech last night at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest this hour is Bill Ballinger, editor and publisher of the Inside Michigan Politics newsletter. He's a former Michigan State Representative and Senator and served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare under President Gerald Ford. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for joining us. I heard a lot of Republican political commentators last night say that Paul Ryan hit a home run and really got the crowd going and said all the right things. And then I heard a lot of Democratic political commentators saying, yeah, well, he fudged the facts in a number of instances. What do you say?
Well, it's a little of both, as usual. I think the Republicans were pleased that Ryan seemed to give them the red meat and really go after President Obama and the Democrats in a way that they had evidently expected Chris Christie in the keynote speech the night before to do, and Chris Christie really didn't quite do that. Chris Christie, I think, gave an effective keynote speech, but it wasn't the unbridled attack on President Obama and his administration that the delegates may have been hoping for. I think Paul Ryan gave them more of that. He got off to a little bit of a shaky start just in the timing and the cadence of his talking, and I don't know whether it was a problem with the microphones or anything, but there were these weird sounds all the time and his throat clearing and everything. It was a little bit disconcerting, but once he hit his stride, I thought he was pretty effective. Now, the Democrats were right in the sense that it wasn't a case necessarily so much of Paul Ryan fudging the facts, but he conveniently didn't mention a lot of facts. There's no question about that. But then, you know, when you're giving a speech at a national convention in that context, you don't necessarily go into all the details that can raise questions about what you're saying and getting into a debate that's going to dominate post-convention discussion rather than having the discussion be about what you were really trying to say. In Ryan's case, I mean, obviously, I'll just give you one example. When he talked about the Bowles-Simpson debt reduction commission, and he basically condemned President Obama for walking away from it and not taking up its recommendations, he conveniently, this is Paul Ryan, he conveniently did not mention the fact that he himself opposed the conclusion of the Simpson-Bowles Debt Commission, and he did not support its findings. You can argue he didn't do that on principle because he had his own plan, whatever, but in other words, he tried to have it both ways in what he said, implying that if you just listen to his speech, maybe he had supported it and President Obama didn't do anything with it at all. And, of course, that wasn't the fact. And there were a few other things like that.
Yeah, we'll touch on a couple of the items that Democrats are griping about this morning in just a bit. But I'm just wondering, how you saw the speech. Paul Ryan, we know him in Wisconsin. Certainly the first district knows him very well, but this was an opportunity for him to really introduce himself to the national audience. Did he do a good job?
I think he did do a good job. I mean, I find him an appealing figure for what it's worth. Here I am next door in Michigan. I must say I've got a lot of admiration for your politicians over there in Wisconsin. I think they're a fairly impressive bunch. I think Ron Johnson, who was interviewed on PBS earlier in the evening, did a very good job. Tommy Thompson has been around for years, now making an attempted comeback. He's obviously a very colorful individual. Certainly Scott Walker has gotten a lot of attention in the last year and a half. Tammy Baldwin, a very strong Democratic nominee for the U.S. Senate, very interesting person. So I just think you have a lot of really prominent, interesting, very intelligent, articulate politicians over there. And Paul Ryan, who maybe not as well known as some of the others because he's been from only a slice of the state, the Janesville first congressional district area rather than the whole state. He hasn't been a statewide elected official, but he's obviously had a very prominent place in Washington as the chair of the Budget Committee after seven terms. And as people have been saying for the last few weeks, in a sense, he's kind of the intellectual heart and soul of the House Republican Caucus in Washington. And I think his demeanor, and it came across in the speech last night, is very positive. I mean, he's a guy who can deliver criticism in a kind of a sunny, positive way that isn't mean-spirited and somehow makes him likable.
Yeah, did you notice Governor Walker, a cutaway of him crying during, or at least a tear going down his cheek while Paul Ryan was speaking? He said later that he's friends with Paul and grew up just down the road from him practically in Delavan, and I guess it was proud of him.
Yeah, I saw the cutaways to Scott Walker a couple of times, and it looked to me like, you know, as you say, maybe he was crying, and I couldn't quite believe it, you know, because what Ryan was saying didn't necessarily call for tears at that point from his audience. But if you've got a personal connection with somebody in politics, or it could be in any walk of life for that matter, at a very dramatic moment, as Scott Walker evidently has with Paul Ryan, I could see how it could prompt that kind of reaction.
Paul Ryan introduced his wife and children and pointed out that his mother, who lives in Florida, was also attending the convention. That's significant because of his Medicare proposals.
Absolutely. And, you know, it just struck me. I just never had really thought about it. But of the four main nominees, president and vice president, Democrat and Republican, he's the only one who has a mother, right?
Yeah, I suppose so.
The
yeah.
other three do not have mothers alive. And in fact, I think that was the same situation 4 years ago, that the Republican nominee, amazingly, John McCain's mother at the age of 96 was still alive 4 years ago. And Paul Ryan is the only one of the four who has a mother that he can point to. And, you know, I think he and the Republicans decide, by gosh, we're going to use this and have mom there. And, boy, they used her as a prop, and that was a brilliant stroke, and you're absolutely right. It was the perfect theme to use it on, you know, talking about Medicare and talking about senior citizens and so forth. Perfect, and he's the only guy who can do that.
Yeah, and was he effective in saying that I think he said, I'm going to protect the seniors and protect them and their benefits, and I'm also going to preserve the Medicare benefits for my generation.
Yeah, well, that's the case that the Republicans are trying to make, and they're trying to turn the Medicare issue, which is thought to be a big plus for the Democrats, against the Democrats. And in fact, there is some polling evidence, as you've probably seen in the last week, that, in fact, the Republicans, if they're not necessarily winning this debate or argument, they've got the nation pretty evenly divided. In fact, a slight plurality on the side of thinking that Paul Ryan and the Republicans look maybe a little bit stronger on how to preserve Medicare than the Democrats do. And that's largely because the Republicans are using the argument that Obamacare takes $700 billion out of Medicare. And that was the point that Paul Ryan made last night. I thought he was pretty effective in talking about it, and he was very effective in being decisive and firm in saying, we will protect and save and preserve Medicare. The Democrats are trying to raid it and tear it down.
We'll talk more about that specific part of Paul Ryan's speech in just a moment. And we will welcome your questions and reactions to what Republican vice presidential nominee Paul Ryan had to say in his speech before the Republican National Convention last night. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Bill Ballinger, who is editor and publisher of the Inside Michigan Politics newsletter. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly sunny and hot with highs mainly in the low to mid-90s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Even with all the hidden taxes to pay for the healthcare takeover, even with the new law and new taxes on nearly a million small businesses, the planners in Washington still didn't have enough money. They needed more. They needed hundreds of billions more. So they just took it all away from Medicare. $716 billion funneled out of Medicare by President Obama.
Paul Ryan last night, speaking before the Republican National Convention. We are talking about what he had to say about the Affordable Care Act and Medicare and the stimulus and the debt and many other issues, and welcoming your thoughts and comments. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. There he made the claim that President Obama stole $700 billion from Medicare to fund Obamacare. Bill Ballinger, is that a truthful claim?
It is a truthful claim. On the other hand, of course, and the Democrats obviously won't like this and don't like this, Paul Ryan's plan for Medicare would reduce support for it in the way it exists right now over a period of time. He would restructure it in a way that he contends would make it more solvent. But in other words, both plans, Obamacare and what Paul Ryan would like to do with Medicare, don't have Medicare continue the way it's structured right now. And both of them, in a sense, certainly Paul Ryan, realized that it really can't continue to be funded the way it is right now because it's going broke. And something has to be done, and the question is, what is it? But I don't think that Paul Ryan is lying or distorting things when he says that Obamacare would take $760 billion out of Medicare. It would. But again, it's a more complicated debate than that. And, you know, he didn't lay out his own plan last night, I think, very wisely for Medicare, because his plan, his approach, has not been shown in polls to be popular. You could argue maybe because people don't understand it, or maybe it's wrong, at least as far as the public is concerned. But if it isn't popular, you don't talk about it at length in the middle of an acceptance speech for the vice presidential nomination at your party's national convention on national TV. That debate should remain for another day.
Yeah. But one more point, though, on the money taken from Medicare by the Obama administration. PolitiFact and other sources point out that this money comes from doctors and what they want for procedures, or insurance companies it does not come out of the elderly's benefit checks. And they say it's misleading to make it look like he's raiding the elderly's benefits for this cost. Your reaction to that?
Well, I think that's a valid criticism by the Democrats. When we talk about taking $760 million out of it, there are a variety of ways that could be. And so I think what they're saying is valid. On the other hand, you could also argue that that would certainly still hurt Medicare. I mean, if it discourages a lot of doctors from maybe offering services to patients, or patients know they can't get them because the money to reimburse the doctors isn't going to be there, then you could argue that could hurt Medicare. But what the Democrats are saying, I think, is valid in terms of being criticism.
Julie on Facebook says, Paul Ryan constantly criticized Obama, but other than that, he had nothing to offer. We are going to repeal Obamacare, she puts in quotes, but with what he can't say.
Well, the Republicans all along have been claiming that, it's repeal and replace. That's been their mantra ever since Obamacare passed in the spring of 2010. Republicans realize that Americans are concerned about our health care system. The Republicans always put the emphasis on keeping the cost down or stopping the skyrocketing costs of health care, whereas the Democrats are concerned about that too, but they've also placed greater primacy than the Republicans over the decades in trying to cover more people for health expenses than the current system allows. I mean, you remember all the terms about 47 million, whatever it is, 50 million Americans without health care coverage before Obamacare. Now, supposedly, Obamacare will get that number down to only 15 million. There's still people that wouldn't be covered under Obamacare, but many fewer of them than before. So the Democrats have placed greater emphasis on broadening coverage, and obviously that means that the rest of the population has to pick up the cost of doing that, by and large, whereas the Republicans have emphasized more, how do we keep the cost down? So the Republicans have been saying ever since Obamacare passed in the spring of 2010, what has this done to bring down the costs of health care? It hasn't. They continue to escalate at the same rate they have before Obamacare went into effect. The Democrats and President Obama argue, well, Obamacare isn't fully implemented yet. Give us time. The Republicans contend if they get in office, they will repeal Obamacare and they will replace it with a system that will start to bring down costs. And one of the things they talk about are competition across state lines and everything else. We can go into that. Whether the Republicans would deliver on that if they do repeal Obamacare remains to be seen, but that's what they're saying. And they have said that consistently all along. They're not saying, let's just get rid of Obamacare and go back to our good old system that we've had before, because the Republicans are disgusted with the rising costs of health care as well.
John in Winnebago, Illinois is with us. Hello, John.
Hello, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I thought Paul Ryan killed last night. He did great. And it really, I think it debunks a lot of the negative ads that have been on. I mean, a lot of people, that's all they've been seeing is the negative ads, and they have this demonized vision of Romney and Paul Ryan, and I think Paul Ryan last night showed that he was intelligent, showed that he is not as bad of a guy as a lot of the ads have shown, and that they do have a plan.
You know, I haven't seen any ads, John. We're not seeing very many in Wisconsin. What kind of negative ad are you talking about?
Well, I work in Iowa, so I hear a lot on the radio. So I've heard a lot of ones against Romney and Paul Ryan, and if you look on the internet too, you can see a lot of them.
Yeah.
Wisconsin. I know Illinois isn't really a swing state, so we haven't had a lot of them. But driving through Iowa, I've heard quite a bit.
Yeah. So Ryan succeed in negating those negative ads of Bill Ballinger?
I think to a great extent, and that's one of the reasons I think that Mitt Romney picked him as his running bait. As I indicated at the beginning of our little segment here, Paul Ryan has a very disarming way of disarming his opponents and his critics by just being so likable and pleasant and upbeat and positive in the way he talks about issues, in the way he presents himself, that he can say things that are very critical of his opposition or their policies, or he can, be critical of a political philosophy, and he can even espouse ideas of his own that, you know, in a straight poll might be unpopular, and get away with it, because he does it in a way that doesn't make you dislike him while he's saying these things, and he does it in a way that's kind of personally engaging. So I think that was on display last night. You could see that, and every time he's appeared in public that I've seen, that is the kind of person he is, and that is a great asset to have as a politician.
You know, after news, we will talk about an ad that the Obama campaign released just yesterday before Paul Ryan spoke before the Republican National Convention. This ad is a negative ad. It portrays Ryan as being anti-women. And we'll hear a clip from that after the news, and we'll talk about other issues that came up in Paul Ryan's convention speech. The abortion issue did not come up in the speech. And we'll welcome your thoughts and questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Bill Ballinger, editor and publisher of the Inside Michigan Politics newsletter. He's a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare under President Gerald Ford. Republican vice presidential nominee addressed the Republican National Convention last night. I'm Joy Cardine, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio at 7:36 on this Thursday, August 30th. Ryan laid out his vision for the economy and Medicare, and he criticized what he deemed President Obama's failed policies with the economy, the stimulus, health care, and other issues. We are welcoming your thoughts and questions about what Paul Ryan had to say last night at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Before Ryan took to the stage, the Obama campaign released this ad, and here's a clip from it.
What's perhaps most important for the American public to understand are Paul Ryan's views towards women.
Paul Ryan's vision for the United States is fiercely and harshly anti-female.
He helped sponsor anti-abortion legislation that used the term forcible rape.
Ryan also voted at least four times to defund Planned Parenthood.
So that is a clip from the online video that the Obama campaign released yesterday about Paul Ryan. That part of it saying Ryan is anti-women. And let's get a reaction from our guest about that. Bill Ballinger is editor and publisher of the Inside Michigan Politics newsletter, talking with us about what Paul Ryan had to say last night and what he didn't have to say. And Paul Ryan's critics point out, Bill Ballinger, that he did not talk about social issues like the Human Life Amendment in the speech last night.
Well, maybe that ad you played was what your caller from Illinois was talking about when he said he's been hearing some negative stuff on the air. He said radio in Iowa. But look, Joy, we've got so many ads going on, as you know, more than ever before in American history. Radio, online, TV, you name it, we can't get away from it. Look, there's no question that the Democrats are going after Paul Ryan, and they will continue to go after him on a number of issues, including a lot of the so-called social-cultural issues, particularly abortion. And they will try and link him to Todd Akin from Missouri, the U.S. Senate candidate who made the incredible gaffe a week or so ago and is an imperiled nominee down there right now. And I think Ryan, you know, stayed away from those issues last night because, number one, I think the Romney-Ryan campaign want to stay away from social cultural issues. They want to be perceived as being pro-life to reassure the party's base and people who are pro-life that that is what they are and what they represent compared to President Obama and Vice President Biden. But they don't want to dwell on it, and I don't think they want the campaign to be about that. They want the campaign to be about the economy, and as you heard last night and as you heard from Chris Christie, the national debt. That's what they want the theme of the campaign to be, and they don't want to voluntarily bring up these explosive, controversial social cultural issues, particularly in prime time on national TV when they've got just a few minutes to get their message across.
Janice in La Crosse is with us next. Hello, Janice.
Hi, good morning, Joy, and your guest. Yes, I listened to the whole thing. excuse me. He was, Paul Ryan was just, to me, inspirational, energetic, honest, you know, and non-political in the sense that he's so truthful. You know, he just put it, himself all out there on the line. And that's what the Republicans, I think, have been trying to do, and see this honesty, you know, the importance of family. They're not hiding it. They're not hiding who they are. They're not afraid of it. And, yes, they're pro-life, so am I. So it's, and then Obamacare is going to go when they get in there. And it's like, we don't need the government telling us what to do. We've, all our life, they told their life story, how they made themselves what they are today. They didn't have the handouts. They didn't have the government telling them what to do. I mean, this place has gone so far to the government, and look where we are. We're on our knees, you know. I feel like nothing's going to happen with this country till November. There's just an absolute flat line until a sea change will come in November, and as Paul Ryan says, we can do it. We will change this country, not the government.
All right. Thank you very much, Janice. Bill Ballinger, a reaction to that, and do you think Paul Ryan convinced a lot of people with his speech last night that they should fire President Obama and hire Governor Mitt Romney?
The question is whether he connected with independents and ticket splitters in the electorate. I mean, those are the people that your caller, I'm sure, hopes are going to decide based on what they heard last night from Paul Ryan are going to vote for the Republicans in November. Your caller is a true believer. I mean, she wasn't just converted by Paul Ryan last night, I don't think. And, you know, so you've got people on either side whose sentiments are pretty much set in cement before a particular politician gets up and talks, and they react positively or negatively depending on who they are and who the politician is. But then we've got this mushy center, as you know, Joey, and they're the ones who decide elections. And all the polls right now, this morning, you hear the latest ones, are showing this race as a virtual dead heat nationally. It's just about, you know, 50-50, or actually what it really is, and this is more important than what we're talking about, it's like 47-47 or 45-45. That means they're 8-10%, and maybe more than that, of the electorate who are a little flexible, and they can go either way. They could be one back to the other side, so to speak, or to the other candidate between now and November 6th, no matter what they think they might do today. They could change their mind, and there's some who are genuinely undecided, and there's some who just haven't paid attention, and they haven't really focused on it yet. And when they do, Paul Ryan and the Republicans right now are trying to convince them, if they tuned in last night, hey, look at what we've got to offer and vote for us on November 6th. The Democrats will be trying to do the same thing next week.
Now let's go to Tom in Green Bay. Hello, Tom.
Hi. I watched Paul Ryan last night. I have to disagree with everything he said because at 16, his dad passed away. He got SSI from the government. He also got his college paid by the government, being that his dad passed away. there's so many Republicans that have received government subsidized loans, and they say they've done everything themselves. Totally wrong. I think they have to rethink their plan a little bit before they say we don't need the government at all.
Mm-hmm. Is a reaction to that, Bill Ballinger?
Yeah, actually, your caller touches on something that I think you've really seen a lot of emphasis on at this convention, and that's the remark by President Obama, which he and the Democrats say was taken out of context, in which he seemed to say that if you've had success in building a business, you didn't build it, that the government built it. You aren't responsible for your success as much as all these government programs, whether it's highway infrastructure or whether, as your caller indicated, it might be SSI or it might be some other government program. And there's been a lot of pushback by the Republicans on that at this convention, not just last night by Paul Ryan, but a night earlier by Chris Christie, and by Ann Romney, and by a lot of these speakers. And your caller is absolutely right that obviously government has a role to play in all our lives. And I don't think Paul Ryan is trying to say government has no role. But as he said last night at one key juncture, he said, we have a choice between whether we put a cap on the size of government and whether we put a cap on the size of economic growth in this country. And Paul Ryan then said, this administration, meaning the Obama administration, has put a cap on economic growth. We will put a cap on government. That's what he's saying. It shouldn't be any bigger than 20%. That was the figure he used. Ideally should be smaller than that. I think the general proposition that Romney and Ryan are advancing is, if you like SSI, if you like Social Security, you like Medicare, and you like some of these entitlement programs, please realize they are going broke, and they're unsustainable financially the way they're structured right now. Something has to be done,
yeah.
And the question is, what is that?
Is he, though, proposing that these programs are semi-privatized?
Originally, his program did call for Medicare, for instance, to be privatized in the sense of seniors being given vouchers and a choice of finding their own health care coverage rather than the way it's structured now. He backed away from that. There was so much opposition to it, even within the ranks of his own party, that he now offers that as an option. And now, of course, Mitt Romney is saying that's not his plan either, and Paul Ryan is saying, I will accede to Mitt Romney in the approach we take toward trying to bring the costs of Medicare and Social Security under control. We don't know yet what that will be, but you can be sure it will be something that will, like, raise the age eligibility level, or it will cut benefits in some way or something to make it somehow sustainable, because right now it isn't.
Michael in Madison is with us now. Hello, Michael.
Hello, thank you. Your guest has said several times, and you just really said it again, that the concept that Ryan should not be putting out his plan at the Republican National Convention on national TV, and there were several other key phrases there. The reason we have a quarter of the people tightly liberal and a quarter of the people tightly Republican and conservative, and this 50% mushy center, those folks in the center are not getting the real story. They're not being told what these parties really want to do. This is exactly the time for Ryan to be telling us what he would like to do, and Romney as well. It sure be nice to hear our candidate Romney talk about what he would like to do, not just what the other guy didn't do or how the other guy failed.
Yeah, all right, because we're coming up on a weather break, what about that? And do you think Mitt Romney's going to tell us that tonight when he speaks?
No, I don't. What your caller says is correct, but I'm just looking at this realistically. A politician, I don't care whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, whether it's Barack Obama or Paul Ryan or whoever, is not going to get up and meticulously go into the weeds, go into the details on how to overhaul Medicare or Social Security, given the few minutes he has on national TV during a convention. It just ain't going to happen. There are times during the campaign when it should happen. Maybe it will happen in a presidential debate. How about that? That's what presidential debates or vice presidential debates are supposed to be about, and the moderators ought to make them talk about those issues at that time. There's going to be time to do that. Last night was not that time.
Our guest is Bill Ballinger. He is editor and publisher of the Inside Michigan Politics newsletter. We are talking with him about what Paul Ryan had to say in his convention speech last night. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a reaction or a question, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be a sunny, hot day today. Summer's not over yet. Highs mainly in the low to mid 90s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Coming up on the Ideas Network after 8 o'clock, we will welcome in the author of Growing Up Brave, about how to help your child overcome fear, stress, and anxiety. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with a guest analyst about what Congressman Paul Ryan, Vice Presidential nominee Paul Ryan, had to say in his speech last night before the GOP convention. Here's a clip of Bill Ballinger that I want you to comment on when Paul Ryan talked about the closed GM plant in Janesville.
A lot of guys I went to high school with worked at that GM plant. Right there at that plant, candidate Obama said, "I believe that if our government is there to support you, this plant will be here for another 100 years." That's what he said in 2008. Well, as it turned out, that plant didn't last another year. It is locked up and empty to this day. And that's how it is in so many towns, where the recovery that was promised is nowhere in sight.
So, Bill, how fair was that since the GM plant in Janesville closed when George Bush was president in 2009, in December of 2009?
Well, if it closed in December 2009, George Bush was not president then. Barack Obama was.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have said 2008.
Yeah. Well, if it closed then that is a little bit misleading, because listening to Paul Ryan, it sounded like Barack Obama was there in 2008, and a year later, which would have meant Obama was president, it closed. And you're saying it actually closed before Obama even took
off.
Yeah,
it was in the works of being closed in 2008, and it closed in December of 2008.
Yeah. Well, I think the general point he was trying to make, obviously, is that, you know, listening to President Obama in 2008, you would have thought it would be open again by now, or something else would have replaced it. That was what President Obama was offering in 2008, hope and change. I'm going to turn things around. I'm going to cut the unemployment rate way back down. We're going to cut the national debt in half, blah, blah, blah. And look at 4 years later, these things just have not happened. And in Janesville, the plant has stayed closed. It's never reopened. The unemployment rate has never gotten below 8%. The national debt has gone way up by $5 trillion. That was the general point he was trying to make. I agree that it sounds to me like he bent the facts a little bit in making that point. But, you know, that was what he was trying to get across, and I think he was probably pretty effective at it.
Cliffin Appleton, you're on the air.
Yes, let's call a spade a spade. He didn't bend the facts. He lied. Bush was president when the plant was closed. I think that, you know, when I think about Paul Ryan, I don't see what a lot of your callers are calling in. I see a smooth-talking liar. And I don't characterize the Republicans as pro-life, because McCain was talking about intervening in Syria, going into Iran. This is a party of death. Do you think new wars won't cost?
Let's stick to what he had to say last night,
people,
though.
The poor people who get services are going to suffer. I view Ryan as really problematic, trying to sell us poison.
All right, so he sees the Republican Party, including Ryan, as pro-war and anti, I think, working people.
Yeah, well, again, you know, here is a call from somebody, I think you could say on, quote, the other side, unquote, from some of your previous callers. I have a feeling that this caller couldn't have been convinced by Paul Ryan last night on anything, because I don't think he agrees with Paul Ryan and the Republicans. And, you know, as far as foreign policy is concerned, and this is something we really haven't talked about in this hour, obviously Paul Ryan and the Republicans would be saying an attempt to intervene where we intervene nationally might be an attempt to not only bring peace and justice and advance the ideals of democracy in that area, and you could debate whether that's our role or our job as a nation, but also maybe ultimately to protect American lives, which the Republicans would say is ultimately the thing that we really have to worry about the most. So, I mean, these debates can go on, and they will all fall. But again, for the independent and for the ticket splitter, the person still trying to make up his or her mind, your caller is right, at least to the extent that when you hear a speech from somebody like Paul Ryan last night, you can't expect to hear something that is going to be a dispassionate, objective way of trying to get at the facts and to pull apart or parse a particular issue in a very objective way. It's going to be slanted. It's going to be partisan. It's going to be a polemic. We're going to hear this from the Democrats coming from the other direction next week. Get ready. Things are not going to be any different there. And it's all a battle for the heart and soul of the American voter.
Let's go next to Sheree in Waupun. Hi, Sheree.
Good morning. I just want to make sure that people were aware, number one, that there is a article on Fox News that talks about the misinformation that Paul Ryan was saying last night. And I thought that was actually kind of interesting. The writer's name is Sally Cohn. But, you know, I find that the Republican Party, they tend to spread misinformation and then stick to it. And it never gets past that deeper debate. So, for instance, when they talk about the $760 million that Barack Obama wanted to, quote-unquote, cut for Medicare, they don't explain that it's actually really in savings and that Paul Ryan embraced the same thing. You know, they don't talk about with the welfare for work. They go, oh, he's trying to make it where people don't have to work to be on welfare. But in actuality, it was something that Republican governors put forward. And when Obama agreed, they said, no, we're not going to do it. So it's really frustrating when you really want to talk about issues and they want to stick to that one word, one sentence, you know, blurb, and never want their constituents to delve deeper into the facts. And
Sheree, thank you so much. We have less than a minute to go, so I just want to give a last word to our guest. I have, by the way, put that Fox News article on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you want to take a look at that. Bill Ballinger, I'm sorry, less than a minute now. Maybe we should just say, what do you expect tonight from Mitt Ryan or Romney?
Well, I expect Mitt Romney to try and make himself apparently a lot more personable to the American public than a lot of voters think he is. I don't think he's that much of a problem myself, but I think he's got to carry on the theme started by his wife on Tuesday and continued by Paul Ryan last night and really make these independent ticket splitters like him and want to vote for him on November 6th.
Thank you so much for being with us. Bill Ballinger with Inside Michigan Politics Newsletter. Thanks to Cheryl Gasser, to Amanda Magnus, and to Bill Martins for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine.